group. So.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
You guys ready?
The following presentation is for mature audiences only.
Pick that up. You know that. Yes.
Sticks up your butt.
Yeah, you'll know all about that. That's a night. Ow!
Oh boy.
He's gonna get chosen last again.
Help!
Hey, get no help here. Okay. Okay. Okay, now. Does anyone ever hear our intro? We're gonna put it like on a separate space just so that they can hear it.
Damn right they shot first.
Damn right. Episode 77. Oh, don't write on me. Oh, giddy geeker. Ah, I'm bleeding. Not really.
So we have Kim Wunderlich Kitty here today.
Thanks for spending the night in the garage with Field.
It was amazing. I really don't like to be on my knees all night, but that's what you have.
Oh, you're on the right podcast, my friend.
Oh, wait, this what? No.
So now divulge your identity and interwebness.
Tell us who you are. Okay. Yeah. So, Kim, if you were listening to episode 76, which may or may not be played in order of the rest of them so that we can get this out more urgently, then you know that Kim is helping out with foreign exchange students through the Green Heart Association.
That's true.
But also, she is a hard and fast geek, and she was one of our top three winners of the Flash Fiction Story Writing Contest that we held last September, October. And so she has come back to hang out with us so we can talk about the news and views of last week. So,
just
what do we got?
A short list.
Damn. I know. So, I did catch up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Matt and I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a new episode tonight, April 12th. But we have seen the resurgent of a certain character that we thought was dead.
Is this a good resurgent, or is it just like, oh,
no,
gosh, this
no,
show
he's a bad guy.
Catching me?
Evil.
Yeah.
Evil.
Yeah, no, every time we think that this bad guy is dead, he
is it
comes
Wade?
Back. It is Grant Ward.
Ward, okay. I was
Ward
just trying to Ward, okay.
Ward
I knew
back.
There was a bad guy with a W.
And there's a lot of Karo syrup involving his character. Red-colored Karo syrup.
It's been so long since I bothered with this show, so.
Well, you may or may not remember that, you know, Gemma was lost. She
went
back
to
the alternate universe first.
A faraway place.
So they went back to try to catch the guy that had helped her survive while she was there. But at the same time, Hydra went in there to try to find the big bad that was trapped over there and bring him back. And he has embodied Ward.
Oh, okay.
And come back. Mm-hmm. But for several episodes, Ward was this emaciated character because Coulson had broken his rib cage and everything like that. So he was all crushed and mushed and
ouchy.
Very ouchy looking. But he's no longer ouchy thanks to some heavily colored Karo syrup.
Rehydrated.
He's rehydrated.
Get the stick up your butt.
Oh, hey. Hey.
Got some floral
rehydrated.
All right. So, but that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I wasn't compelled, like I had to watch it the minute it came out, but I'm glad that I'm caught back up on it. So looking forward to watching more of that and seeing where that goes.
So tell us about Fear the Walking Dead. I watched
is
the first
so
season
bad?
And was
yeah.
I was totally underwhelmed the first season.
So I had never seen it before, but watched it yesterday. And my remark was, I feel like this is like the college student, like, broke version
of Walking Dead.
I've seen bits and pieces of this opening episode. First off, the boat is totally changed from what the boat was in the last episode of last season. So it's like,
yeah,
wow.
I want to say, like, the previously all kind of showed, like, a, like, lane boat, and then this one's like a luxury yacht. Yeah, we
got it. The budget got bigger.
Yeah,
in between seasons.
I got renewed.
I find every single person annoying and not really good looking, except for the one lady who's like popped up in everything recently, but like,
so it hasn't changed.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of how I felt watching. I felt like it was like something that like we put together, like our version of The Walking Dead. Like
what
it
are
felt
you
so
to
low
say?
Budget.
What are you talking about, Tiffles? What are you trying to say?
Well, we don't have the budget.
We don't have multi-million dollars.
We don't have Norman Reedus.
You push a button on your iPhone. That's pretty high tech.
We don't have any British people that can pretend to be American.
That's right.
Okay?
Oh, no, I have a British au pair here. Look, let's just get her in here.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. So,
our own
I will continue watching because it's fun to watch with your friends.
Oh,
but it's really funny. But I also saw that somebody was beat to death with a baseball bat.
God, I can't even remember. Somebody was beat to death with a baseball bat on the show?
Eel? The character Eel.
There was an eel, like a literal eel,
ow,
that they ate
so
for dinner.
He beat the eel.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You read a recap. All
right. I did read a recap because I started to watch it and I was like, that boat's freaking different. They can't even get the same damn boat between seasons. So I gave up. So they beat an eel to death.
Yeah. The one guy, the barber, caught an eel, and then he wanted it to die quickly, so he beat it with a baseball bat. I was like, I don't remember.
So something died with a baseball bat in one version of Walking Dead this season.
No.
Because a machete wouldn't have been faster. Let's beat it.
He was on a boat escaping a zombie apocalypse.
Is the heroin kid getting over the hair? Is he still wearing like the members only jacket?
Yeah, the one that can't wash his damn hair. Yeah.
Oh my God, what is wrong with that guy?
Can he comb his hair?
I just saw the promo. And he has
okay.
a jacket on in the water, and I'm like,
please, AMC, AMC, we need to talk to you.
Yeah.
Why?
You cannot expect Tiffany to watch The Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead if you don't allow these people to take showers.
That's
it
right.
freaks her out.
Yes.
Apparently, she does not like it.
True that. The guy who owns the boat is rocking a lot of cable net, though, so I appreciate that.
So not stereotypical.
The broke
at
Blair
all.
Underwood, yeah.
Yeah.
But... So, I will not be writing any positive reviews of the show, but... Stick with it, I will.
Wow.
We look forward to
I
hearing more about
okay.
this show, because I won't be watching it.
Speaking of dead stuff, no, The Last Man on Earth, this is still a funny-ass show, and Jason Sudeikis was on, it looks like he's joining the cast, and he plays Phil's brother, and just hysterical, and he calls his brother by his nickname, Skidmark, that nobody knew. So now you're imagine there's only 8 people left in the world that you know of, and now they all know your horrible nickname from when you were a kid, and they're calling you that. It's like, you finally thought you were free, and they're picking on you again. It's like, no.
That totally brings me flashbacks of when I was in parochial elementary school. You know.
They called you Skidmark?
No, but there was 32 kids, and like whatever nickname you had, that was what you had. So
nice.
there were kids there that did not. I didn't have bad nicknames, but I remember there was one kid that was like Steve Lang, and they called him the Wanger. And it's just like that kid.
Steve's family's probably listening.
He grew up probably as handsome as Henry Cavill. And yet, in college, they still called him the Wanger. And I felt so bad.
Probably
for
a different reason at that point.
Oh,
no.
Big Wanger.
Yeah. And the Wanger.
Everybody Wanger.
These
were
Bob Jones students.
Oh,
I don't think
right.
so.
They didn't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe not.
Yeah. It's kind of sad because, you know, I'm getting ready to have a high school reunion coming up here soon. Yeah. And I have to admit, when I think of my friends from back in the day, I think of them in their nicknames. You know, I think everyone's like, oh, have you seen, you know, so-and-so? And I'm like, you mean Fester? And I'm like, you know, and they're like, oh, God, please don't call him that. I'm like, well, I'll try not to. You know?
So they called me Pocket because Pocket. So it wasn't anything. That wasn't a bad name. Well, and it worked because Joey's a baby kangaroo and Pocket.
It works.
There you go.
So it all worked. But,
one of my friends was Boner in high school. So
wow.
So totally got that from the TV.
Yeah.
Bad.
Well, and
well,
we had one girl named Becca Leck, and because her name was Becky Leckman. So And now she's married, and she hasn't been Lekman for 40 years, and I saw her over the summer and still called her Becca Lex.
I would just like to say my last name was Wunderlich, and I'm going to leave it at that, because I didn't need a nickname, because they had all the material they needed right there.
Well, growing up, a lot of people would pronounce Pocket with an R in it, like Parquet, so Parquet was very popular back then. Yeah. So Parquet, it's better.
My name is Slee. My name was Slee. I'm just going to leave that out there.
What?
Slee.
Slee Stack, right? Slee Stack.
That was probably the worst. Third freaking grade. Oh. Land of the Lost. I was Slee Stack all fucking year.
Those things terrified me, by the way, as a kid. Fucking terrified.
I hated
just
that.
Just hop
because,
in a pylon
and go.
Oh,
that's right.
They were so creepy.
I could put up with everything in high school, but man, that third grade Slee Stack all year. Fuck you, little kids.
Luckily, there's no scars, right, Carol?
No. No scars at all. No.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm moving on to happier stuff. Suicide Squad trailer. Let's dive right into that. Feel good hit of the...
That
of
also
the...
has bats in it. I'd just like to point that out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping this movie is good. It's very good. I'm hoping it lives up to 75% of its marketing campaign, because the marketing campaign for this is really terrific. I like the music they choose. The scenes that they're showing, it's not telling you a whole lot, but it's giving you a nice view of the characters. And the posters that they've created for this movie are great. So I'm hoping it lives up to like 75% of the marketing campaign.
Well, I know that they did some recuts and some reboots to make it funnier.
And to make it more Deadpool-ish.
Well, and that's exactly where I was going next, is that I really think that Deadpool opened a door for people who've been trying so hard to stay in that PG-13 arena and realizing, hey, look at how much money Deadpool made, and it was R. Now, are they going to be able to capture Deadpool's Deadpoolness? No. Never. But are they going to be able to maybe get some Joss Whedon-type humor in there finally and maybe possibly have that viewpoint that does not everything from DC has to be this epic saga that Superman and Batman keeps trying to be, of this really serious and overbearingly heavy-handed stuff. No.
And yeah, you don't want the record that Superman versus Batman set, which was, you know, largest drop-off of viewers in the second week, because people go and they're like, because it's that heavy-handed, dark, brooding. I mean, people kind of like a little levity. Let's be honest, like, comics...
World sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Comics are already dramatic enough by nature. You're suspending reality anyway. Why not put some levity in there and enjoy it? I mean, we all need to be entertained, and we don't need to be depressed every time we leave a superhero movie.
And you don't need to be hand-fed things. There is a sophisticated viewer out there now. I mean, this is the golden age of geekdom. And even if not every person is a geek who's hardcore read every single comic book, you can lay the story down. You don't have to hit us over the head with it 30 times, and you can move on.
And that was one of the things I had a problem with Batman versus Superman, because we once again had to show Bruce Wayne's origin story. I'm using air quotes.
Yeah, but at least it was like...
It was short. A
couple minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't like drawn out. But at the same token, it's like, yes, we know. We know
his parents were killed.
We know. That's he fell down the hole.
It would
with
be one thing if this was like a 20-year later reboot where you have to re-explain things. There has been a Batman saga in existence for the past 30 years.
Yeah.
We get it.
We know what happened to his parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who apparently are Maggie and Negan. It really made me feel old because they were coming out of Excalibur. Really. So anyway.
Well, I think it's funny how DC movie universe is playing this catch-up thing, and they're trying to get it all connected like Marvel. And then on their TV side, they've already done that from day one, and it's been brilliant. And so you've got The Flash kind of being soft origin-wise inside of Arrow. That sounds horrible. Coming out of that. And then you've got the crossover recently of The Flash over with Supergirl, which is another network, but the same producers.
Yeah.
But that still was tough to do, a different network. So I think... You know, the TV, they're really doing it well. So DC needs to probably look at the TV and go, wait, they're kind of doing it already. Why don't we...
But by the same token, they're taking it a completely different route, because they have this really wonderful TV Flash that is very successful. And they're doing a Flash movie, and they're not using him.
they're using a completely different actor.
Yeah. And my problem was if it was a really bad actor, like it used to be in the day, TV was so horrible and the effects sucked. But now some of these effects are better than a lot of movies that are out there.
Yeah, they're really badass. Yeah. And the acting is really great. And there's absolutely no need to recast it. Not that I have.
Especially the Arrow guy. That guy's a hot piece.
I don't know if Arrow's going to show up in the movies, but with The Flash, it's like.
Oh, you know, I like fish.
Well, and why would you take away from something that's already successful?
Yeah, it's already successful. You want to expand on that. You know.
Here's my little rant. So, you know the story about Nimoy and Shatner. That Shatner couldn't come up with one good idea on his own. But he did. He was smart enough to have it written into his contract. Whatever Nimoy gets to do, I get to do it too.
Yep.
Right? Because he knew that Nimoy was going to come up with all the ideas. And Nimoy was the one that started directed. So then Shatner had to direct. And Nimoy was going to do writing, so then Shatner had to write. And you know, and I was read Tech Wars back in the day.
You actually think Shatner wrote those?
No. I'm not an idiot. Shatner needs help up the yin yang. But here's
my point.
I love me some Captain Kirk.
Oh no, I'm Spock all the way.
I would paint myself green for that man any day.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, moving on. So
and now you can with the new makeup line.
That's true. But I kind of feel like DC is doing the Shatner. They're like, oh, so Marvel's doing this. So let's jump on that bandwagon. But they're Shatnerizing their own self. Yeah. They're shooting themselves in the foot. Because Shatner got the chance to direct, and he got so caught up in his butt that he had to show himself like. He just put in this weird stuff, and it's like, if you're going to copycat brilliance, why cut away the best parts of brilliance?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is what DC is doing. They're like, oh, we'll link all the movies together. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. clearly showed that they play all in the same canon.
Yeah.
So we had Lady Sif on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We've had Agent Carter come in and out. We've had Coulson go in and out. We've had Colby Smulder and her character go in and out of the movies and the media platforms. We have Netflix and Jessica Jones and Daredevil mentioning each other and other universes and connecting it all together. If DC says, okay, we've got to have this movie franchise. We've got to connect it all together. But we're going to piss all over the TV because, you know.
And not only that, when they do that, because like, they saw Daredevil, this R-rated, hard R-rated film, make this shit ton of money. And suddenly, it's like, well, we're going to do an extended cut of Batman versus Superman, and it's going to be rated R. And it's like, okay, we don't need an extended cut, because this damn movie was 2.5 hours long to begin with. And two, it wasn't that it was not R. It was that the story was just all over the place.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, if you could probably cut that movie down and make a better movie.
Absolutely.
But they're gonna add stuff to it to make it R because Deadpool did so well and it was rated R. So it's like they're looking at what Marvel does and they're copying it poorly.
They're Shatnerizing it.
And what's interesting about
Hashtag Shatnerize.
Well, what's interesting about all that is so DC Comics was around a while. They were the original. And then Marvel came around in the 60s and almost immediately they had the sense of humor that DC didn't have. I mean, DC did not have a lot of sense of humor in their comics at all because it was Batman and that stuff. And Marvel had the Fantastic Four, and then Spider-Man just completely blew it wide open. I mean, he was the funny guy. He was the one-liners. He was basically a comedian. And I remember laughing as a kid reading these comics, being like, you know, now I guess people laugh at Deadpool because it's a little different sensibility. But it's like, and then DC started having sense of humor and doing these different things, and they got a little bit lighter. And they would copy Marvel, even though they've been around a long time before, so they've kind of followed that. And then their movies, they had Superman way back with Christopher Reeves that was crazy successful. And then they had the Batman movies starting with Michael Keaton and all the way up to Christopher Nolan's stuff. And it's just like, but they didn't have the connection now. And they're like, oh gosh, we messed up, but I don't know.
And I just, you know.
Just do your own thing.
Do your own thing. Do it well.
Probably, you know, like if you see the actors from the TV show in the movie, it probably make you go, I like that guy. Like, let me go check out that show.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Like, let me not, oh, I'm going to go now watch a completely separate actor flesh out this character over
the Here's the only thing that I think could save the Flash movie, right? Because we know that there's different iterations of Flash in different universes.
And that's what they're going for.
If they do that, then if they want to get the blessing and the connection of the TV show, they got to do a Coulson or a Smolder or a Sif in there. Yeah. They got to take somebody from the universe that Flash is in and make a nod to the show and connect it. Then they have a potential to do whatever they want to with the movie storyline, but still honor the canon that has been established and successful for them.
Yeah.
And you really could with the different universes now that are on the Flash TV show.
And that's how you Nimoy it.
I'm just sitting here wondering why Hollywood has to recycle actors all the time, and why does Affleck have to be Batman and Daredevil, and Ryan Reynolds has to be, you know, Deadpool and the Green Lantern. I'm like, what? There weren't enough other... I mean, don't get me wrong. I like me some Ryan Reynolds, but, I mean, come on.
I didn't get to see Deadpool, by the way.
I did not, but I do understand that he killed it, that he was amazing.
Not only did he kill it, but he totally acknowledges...
Yeah.
That he acknowledged, because only Deadpool can do that, he acknowledges some of the missteps from before.
That's awesome.
Like, and don't sew my mouth shut, he talks about that. Yeah. Don't make my suit green, he talks about that.
Animated.
Yeah.
And I actually think Ben Affleck is probably one of the bright points of Batman versus Superman, which is
not Wonder Woman?
I liked her too. And she surprised me because when I first saw pictures of her, I was just like, oh my God, they've got this petite little woman playing an Amazon. Mm-hmm. But she actually stands up with these guys, and it was actually quite good.
Awesome.
But I didn't mind Ben Affleck as Batman. I just wish he was in a better movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that hard.
Which was kind of like Ryan Reynolds the first time he did Deadpool. I wish he had been in a better role, but he did.
That was what, Wolverine?
Wolverine Origins. Oh my God, that was just a bad film.
They destroyed everything.
I'm not even going to think about that Gambit. I'm not even going to think about that Gambit. No.
And they canceled the Nuna Gambit.
Yeah, which thankfully, because man, they had Channing Tatum signed as.
But you did hear that they've now talked about having Black Widow's own breakoff movie in Phase 4. So I think that's interesting. And certainly looking forward to that. And hopefully good things with Wonder Woman based on what you guys have seen. Now, I have not seen Batman versus Superman. But based on your opinions, I feel that that's something that I can wait until later. I'm looking forward to Civil War, again, wishing it wasn't the weekend of my wedding. But at least we'll be on vacation the next week, and we can go when the theaters are empty, so that will be good.
If they are empty.
Speaking of trailers and theaters not being empty at all, we had the Rogue One trailer.
Oh my god.
Which was pretty damn awesome. Oh my god.
That was awesome. It was.
Imperial Walkers. I don't know why Imperial Walkers make me squee so much, because they're just the stupidest damn transport vehicles ever.
I was even thrilled just to see the old-fashioned stormtroopers. Yeah, I don't know why that made me so fucking happy, but I was like, wow. And the best thing of that whole trailer for me was something so stupid, but the Death Star, the satellite array, actually moving.
Yes.
Because the Death Star was just like a matte painting in the movies. It looked awesome, but it never did it shit.
It never
until
did
until fired
anything,
and destroyed a planet. But this was actually like... Ooh, it can do things. Look at that.
And of course, you know, this came out and immediately there was a backlash because, once again, the main character of this is a woman. And oh no, they're feminizing Star Wars and we're never going to have another man in the role.
Which I think is bullshit.
First
of all, Poe Cameron,
Poe Dameron.
Yeah, I'm calling him in my world.
But I'm not even talking Poe. Finn is like...
Finn is awesome.
Yeah.
You know what pisses me off? Let me go on Let me go on another little rant for a second, because evidently it's Joey's gonna rant day. Funko Pops, as you know, slightly addicted. Most of them. Yeah. For pictures.
I haven't seen that.
No. You hide it well under your green makeup over there. Orion slave girl. If it's a fandom that I enjoy, we've gone out and bought them. And most Funkos will start either at the $10 price point at some of the comic book stores and stuff like that, or Hot Topic will be $12.50 if it's just a standard Funko. Mm-hmm. Movies you know, and some things, they go up. Thin was $8.50 when I went to go pick them up. Pissed me off. Not that I wanted to spend more than $8.50. I was happy to spend $8.50, but it pissed me off that he was $8.50 because, like, Princess Leia is like $29.99 if you try to buy it right now. And other characters, like Kylo Ren, which, you know, I'm sorry, he was a little, I mean, yes, he was awesome, but he was a little too white for me.
He's like deliberately white.
I know, he's supposed to be. I get it. But, you know, here's Finn. We should be celebrating. I mean, the whole Oscar thing about there's no, but, you know, a whitewash. Here we have Finn in one of the biggest...
The biggest movie ever.
Franchise series ever. And everybody's talking about Rey. Fuck y'all.
I know that. But even then, you know, they're going on about... and the new character's name just left my brain.
The Rogue One.
They're talking about, you know, how it has another female lead. But there's guys surrounding her in this trailer. The rest of the rogues all seem to be male. There's a young Han Solo movie coming out very shortly. So there you've got, you know, a male lead.
There's going to be a Boba Fett movie.
There's going to be a Boba Fett movie.
A lot of male-centric.
Yeah, and, you know, so...
Every movie is basically a male-centric movie.
Yeah.
Almost, right?
Every movie that comes out, we get pissed off because there's certain female characters that don't get franchise Funko Pops or Barbie dolls or whatever you got. Then we finally get two in a row that look spectacular, and we still got to complain.
Yeah, but that's, you know...
Okay, what is Rogue One?
Rogue One is taking part.
Give me Sith Lord.
Well, that blew up that segment. I guess we should have explained that at the beginning.
Obviously, it's connected to Star Wars, but like I'm assuming it's not the sequel of the movie we just saw.
Comments from our viewers can be sent to tiffles at guardiansofthegeekery.com. That's TIFFLES at guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Swear high blood pressure.
Rogue One is labetalol right here.
Rogue One is taking place basically during A New Hope, because they're trying to forget the plans of the Death Star. So when Mon Mothma, who apparently only has one dress. I'm sorry.
Was that the CGI lady
It was really expensive.
Which many Bothans died to get us these plans.
Yep.
This is the
So yeah, she's got that same fucking dress for
three
movies.
Well, it was really expensive.
What if she's an alien? That's like part of her skin. She just kind of looks like
it. It's like the sleeve stack. They always had that one like shiny garment.
Hey, you know, they
sleeve stacks are us. Let's go.
Showed good leg.
So this is the
sleeve stack warehouse. Come get you a shiny.
So it's actually taking place during the original.
During the '70s.
Yes. Basically.
Okay. Well,
yes, Tiffles.
It's even further
back.
Again,
that's Tiffles at guardiansofthegeekery.com.
Galaxy far, far away.
Hashtag Star Wars.
Yes, but basically it's an alternate story occurring at the same time of the original trilogy.
Were any of the guys that were surrounding the girl named Fuck or whatever Matt called her?
just kidding. You said what's her name? Carol goes, what's her name? You go, Fuck.
Oh.
So, I think that's a great name. Comments.
I mean,
she's
the only girl around nine guys.
You know where you stand. That's
okay. Or not.
None of the guys surrounding her were Henry Cavill.
Well, okay.
You know who I think that one guy might be?
Henry Cavill?
No, the guy that's like standing around the little Mon Mothma room.
Okay. Okay.
It looks
so
like Biggs.
Starkslayer.
Jyn Erso.
Yeah. I love that Matt is trying to explain which guy it is by pointing on an audio podcast. You know, the guy that was over here.
Yeah, no, he was in the trailer, but he looked sort of like he's supposed to be the Han Solo-ish character. But I'm wondering if that was Biggs, Darklighter, because he had gone off to join the Rebellion before Luke Skywalker. So that would put him there, maybe.
That
but
could
I don't
be,
know.
But Biggs, I mean,
makes
the,
you think
the,
of White Lighter, which
he's
makes you think of Charmed.
Which
was only good before.
In the extended cut of A New Hope, you actually see Biggs. In the theatrical version, you don't.
Yeah.
And he
so
had
this
a really
is before
90s
he met
70s
Tupac.
Stash.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Tupac.
This is before Biggie met Tupac. Small. But it also stars Donnie Yen, who I'm kind of excited to see, and Mads Mikkelsen, who I'm really excited to see.
He's awesome.
He is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
I mean, he always makes me cry. Good. There's something what? About his, like...
The one eye. You're talking about that one eye?
Yeah, it is. It genuinely, like, and I mean that in a very nice way. Like, there's something about his eye that makes me think, like, I want to cry. Like, there's...
I really did
he
cry.
He seems very sweet, you know?
Have you seen Battlefield Earth? I really cried. God. Because he was in that. I was like, why is Forrest fucking Whitaker in that?
Oh,
like,
God.
Because I don't think he's a Scientologist.
No,
I don't know how they
he's
got
not.
Him,
but, yeah. No. Actually, I think, I don't know how many people, Paycheck, yeah. That was it. Ghost Dog didn't do as well as he had hoped.
Oh,
God.
All right, so speaking then of Netflix stuff happening here, so the guy who plays Daredevil on the TV show, I think it's Matthew...
No, Matthew Murdock is the...
no, it's Charlie Cox.
Yes.
Great name. So he was talking about that the end of this year, they're going to start filming already The Defenders, which is... Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. Which Iron Fist hasn't even started yet.
Yeah.
So that's pretty nuts.
And they're already complaining about the casting of Iron Fist. Because they cast a white guy as a white guy.
Yeah.
Well, will his pop be $8.50? Is the real question here. Because,
yes.
You know, then it's
yeah.
Okay. It's equality.
Is it Matthew Good or somebody good like that?
I can't remember who they cast as Matt.
His name is Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard.
Oh,
Ethan Embry.
Shaggy.
That's okay,
I was thinking 13 Ghosts, but we can go with Shaggy. Yeah.
That was a great performance, too.
What,
Shaggy?
Shaggy?
Yeah, the voice was right on.
Okay, so move on while I try and figure out who was cast as Iron Fist.
Okay,
we
you saw
recently
the
celebrated Rex Manning Day.
Yay!
Right, you saw the movie The Boss?
I did.
What'd you think of this thing?
It certainly had its very funny moments, you know.
Translation, it sucked. Okay. Moving on.
Like,
did you want to eat Girl Scout cookies when it was over?
No, because that was the whole thing, was that she took, like, Kristen Bell's daughter, Melissa McCarthy, her character took Kristen Bell's daughter to, like, basically a Girl Scout meeting, and they were talking about selling cookies, and she had tasted a brownie that Kristen Bell had made previously in the movie, and she was like, these brownies are better than... So it made me want a brownie, because that's what they started selling, kind of a thing. It was really funny in parts, because Melissa McCarthy's just really funny. The movie just devolved into complete wackiness, like... I'm going to spoil it for you and just say that two characters end up having a samurai sword fight. And is there anything about that fucking trailer that made you think that that was going to go down? Kind of a thing. It was just...
Not looking back.
And Peter Dinklage, you Emmy-winning motherfucker. Why are you in this movie?
He has some really odd movie choices.
Yeah.
I loved him in Knights of Badassdom, but
really
Station
good.
Agent was
oh
awesome. I loved him in Knights of Badassdom, but it's an unusual... film for an Emmy winning.
Yeah, I thought that
oh
was
God.
Made
was
before
in...
Game of Thrones. That
no,
was my impression of that.
That was during.
Really?
That was during. And he was in Pixels, which, Peter, come on.
Oh, no.
You know, maybe he's like a Christopher Walken. Let's be honest. He chooses roles just because they look like fun. He's like,
yeah.
What the hell?
What the hell?
I mean,
yeah, King
and
Murray
Jack,
money.
Let's... Really?
Oh.
Joe Dirt? I mean,
you know, Game of Thrones. Right.
Yeah.
Fun,
yeah.
So,
but,
so I wouldn't waste any money running out to... To necessarily
yeah.
see it, but
Redbox,
you know, yeah, Redbox, HBO, you know, you might have some nice laughs.
Okay.
That's how I categorize my films. I'm like, theater, matinee at the theater,
yeah,
Redbox, free
yeah.
with my cable subscription.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You know, it's gonna work.
Maybe a matinee if you're desperate.
Yeah, bored. It's raining.
And the actor who will play Iron Fist is Finn Jones. Who, speaking of Game
he
of Thrones,
British. What's he look
was,
like?
Yeah, he's British. Was
he
was
British.
One of the Tyrells in Game of Thrones.
So, oh, I know
Tom
exactly.
Tyrell.
Yeah, that hot piece.
Yeah.
I know. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He is cute.
Ooh.
So, that hot piece.
On that note.
Well, we should be talking about Lucifer then. We're talking about some fine pieces. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh.
That's a good show.
It is so good.
I only saw the first couple episodes, but yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Can't remember the dude's name. He's from Wales, so he has like kind of a British accent, but it's a little off.
Yeah. Do you have foreign exchange students from Wales? Because I really want to go there.
I do not have any Welsh students.
I want family there.
Yeah, nope. I don't have any Welsh students. But yeah, this guy, so he used to be in the show Rush. I will work on that. There used to be a show Rush, and it was set in L.A., and the guy was like a doctor to the stars, and, you know, fast cars, L.A. freeways, convertibles, and then Lucifer opens up, and it's the same guy in a convertible in L.A., and I'm like, well, I thought that show got canceled, you know? But then, I mean, it was completely different. He's the devil.
Okay.
And, you know, he has this way of coercing people, you know, giving their deepest desires, and there's that supernatural aspect to it, like someone steals his angel wings, and he has scars on his back from where he cut off his wings, and, you know, it's actually, I mean, it's kind of a cop drama, but it has that supernatural feel as well, and it's actually a lot of fun, so it's got that little nerd edge to it that I must have to enjoy the show, and, but it's got the, you know, the other little bits too, the eye candy for everybody else, so... pretty cool.
It's really good.
Based on a Vertigo comic book from a while back. Yeah.
Oh yes, I was gonna add that. Yes, because she's big on the comic.
I'm sure.
She's really big on the comic.
Oh, Hitchcock. You mean it was about Hitchcock?
So exactly.
Were you gonna tell us about Midnight Special?
I was gonna tell you about Midnight Special because I saw it. Midnight Special. First off,
I would like to dive into this first. No, I didn't see it.
Midnight Special is one of those funky little sci-fi movies that you can tell theaters have no idea what to put in front of it for trailers because they were all over the place. They were showing a romantic comedy, they were showing Civil War, and then they showed the Keanu trailer, which
What's that?
Adorable.
I kind of want to see that. I'm not going to lie. It's like a cat movie.
Keanu Reeves. I was like, what are you throwing him in now?
It's confusing. It's the Key and Peele movie. I don't know if any of you watch Key and Peele.
Yes.
This is their movie.
No.
And I want to talk about the trailer before the movie. The trailer is excellent. You know,
that's this movie?
No.
Oh.
No.
Shit.
This is just a trailer.
I was going to go tonight. What the fuck? Midnight Special, here we go.
No, like this guy's girlfriend breaks up with her and he finds this little kitten that he names Keanu. And then Keanu's kidnapped by drug lords. It's kind of like John Wick in reverse.
No, John Wick.
And there's like a scene where like, I feel like a little Keanu, the kitten had like a do-rag on.
I did see that trailer. Now that you say that, they want. We're in the market for a what do they say? Ghetto sidekick or something like that. He's like,
we're in the market for a
ghost
cat.
Yeah.
It's like,
how you say this? Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
It's really funny.
Despite the Toyota commercial or whatever one was doing.
As a trailer to this very somber sci-fi film, I saw they showed the trailer. And I'm like,
so they have no way to market it.
No way to market this film. Okay. Midnight Special stars Michael Shannon as a father who kidnaps his son from a religious cult.
Zod from Man of Steel. And as a dead corpsey thing
in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Waxy dead corpsey thing.
Yeah, cool.
But he kidnaps his son from this religious cult. His son has special powers. He can't be in the sunlight, hence the Midnight Special. They have to drive at night.
Okay.
He hears... like radio broadcasts and satellites, and he hears everything. So he's got to wear earphones on for most of the time, and he wears goggles to protect his eyes because when he looks at people, occasionally he will transmit either good vibes or bad vibes. And the religious cult believed he was a religious figure and that the second coming was coming on a very specific date. And the father realized he has to get his son to this very specific place because the son was hearing coordinates not from satellites or radios, but from basically a different dimension.
Holy shit.
And he takes his kid to this special place to basically, you know, see what exactly needs to be done with this child. It's a really good film. I love Michael Shannon. I just think he's good in everything. It also stars Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, I was like, what, Biscuit Dude or something? What are you talking about?
Kirsten Dunst.
Okay. AKA mom. Nipples, we call her in our household.
Yeah,
because
she never wears a bra. She does in this movie.
God bless her.
But, and Joel Edgerton, who's also a nice...
I know, on the couch tonight.
But it's a really... It's actually a good film. I don't think you really need to see this one in theaters, and frankly, I don't think it's...
Well, if there's nipples, I do need to see this movie
in
theaters.
There's no nipples. She wears a bra.
Oh.
She getting older.
Yeah.
gravity.
Gravity. Yeah, I don't want
to
see that.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be in theaters long enough for you to probably see it, because it's kind of a small film. But I like small little science fiction films like this. Yeah. And it
was at the Manor? Or?
No, this was actually at the Regal on Rhea Road. Oh. But that was the only theater in Charlotte that was showing it.
Oh, they do. Yeah, I got you.
Occasionally, cool. You know, they do a lot of Indian films, and they do a lot of little specialty films here and there.
Indie films or Indian films? Like Bollywood.
Bollywood. Yeah. Okay. I love Bollywood.
Just making sure.
Yeah. I recommend it. I recommend it. I think it'd be a good rental or picking it up on Netflix. I don't think it really needs to be seen on the big screen, but I didn't mind giving my money to it because I like films like that to make a
the
little
The trailer looked excellent. I thought it looked really good.
It actually is awesome. Really good. And the little kid that they have playing his son, Alton, is really good. So, and it's, you know, when your movie hinges on that little kid, mm-hmm. either you have, you know, really bad films or you have Sixth Sense type thing. So, this was more toward the Sixth Sense type movie, but really good movie.
Awesome.
Yay!
And with that...
Did your sister pass away?
No, I cannot find it, so we're just going to pretend nobody passed away. Nobody that you need to know passed away this week.
So, okay, yeah.
But don't forget, check out episode 76 to find out all about the foreign exchange student program.
Yeah.
We need geeky host families for this, and it will benefit you, it will benefit the Charlotte Geeks and the Geek Gala, and it will benefit a child in need. So do it! Check it out. And without further ado, any last words from anybody? Gilmore Girls, we know Melissa McCarthy's coming back, right?
Yay!
Yes.
I'd say just make sure you're watching Z Nation. I'd throw that out there.
Okay.
Oh. That's my zombie show.
Good to know.
And apparently somebody found Polaroids from the set of Rocky Horror. Yes. From the 1975 Polaroids.
That's
shot
amazing.
On the set on the New York subway. And they actually, I only find used condoms on the New York subway. But somebody found a stack of Polaroids from the set of Rocky Horror, and they actually got them back to their original owner, which was Larry, who kind of co-founded one of the original Rocky Horror
things. Wow.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
But I never find cool stuff like that on the
subway. Just keep looking, kid.
You don't make eye contact on the subway.
No. Okay, with that, I'm pushing the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more
you have one job.
Find us on Facebook.
The two problems are solved. Opening and
closing.
One job. Yeah. You're gonna do it four times tonight. What do you expect?
Don't think you've blown our cover now. We make everyone think that they have to stay overnight. Poor Field is all alone.